chapter of the book of Joshua. We'll take a good look at that chapter, or a good part of it, this morning. While you're turning there, I want to thank you for being here this morning and express my appreciation for the reverent way in which the men here go about the Lord's business, from the prayers and the table and the announcements and the song leading and the scripture reading. I see that in all things you try your best to do things decently and in order, and it makes you an easy congregation to worship with. Our second lesson in the series, We're Marching on to Zion, comes from Joshua 24. It's entitled The Call of Joshua. What can we learn about this great prophet in the great book that bears his name? And I'd like to bring your attention in the 24th chapter, especially to verse 15. Because that's the verse this lesson is going to be centered around. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'd like to give you one notation at the beginning. Mankind is going to serve. Mankind has been made to serve, and we're going to do one of two things. We will serve the gods of this world. We will serve materialism. We will serve evil and what is wrong, or we will serve the living God. There's no gray matter in this decision. And he points that out to them. You're going to make a choice. You don't have any other choice, but to make this choice, will you serve the living God? Or will you serve the gods of the Amorites and the gods of the people who dwelt on the other side of the river? This is one of the Bible's most popular verses, I'm thinking, because I've seen it in so many different places. I've seen it adorning the front bumpers of cars on license plates. It's been condensed. Choose ye this day whom you shall serve. And they might add this. As for me and my family, we shall serve the Lord thy God. I've seen that passage on bumper stickers adorning the back of automobiles. I've seen it on enlarged refrigerator magnets as they hold dental appointments to refrigerator doors. I've gone to a Christian's home for lunch and rang the doorbell, and there on the doormat, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. I've gone into Christian homes and seen Christian sisters preparing lunch for a group that came home with them from the building. And I've seen the sister working in the kitchen with an apron that had in stitches these words across the front. I've never seen a Bible verse in all my life used the way this verse is used. It's obviously a very powerful verse. It's obviously a very popular verse for American Christians. However, to consider this verse properly, we must take into account the rest of the chapter, starting especially in verse 2. It's not good just to go to verse 15 and read it. It's good, it's powerful, but it has so much more to offer if we'll take into consideration what God has in mind for us in the rest of the chapter. For instance, Joshua reminds Israel of the power of God and the goodness of God prior to hitting them with verse 15. Before you make this very crucial choice in your life, before you determine who you're going to serve, make sure you know who God is. Make sure you know how good God has been to you. Make sure you know how powerful God is, because if you'll get your mind around those things, it's likely you're going to make the right decision as I have made the right decision, says Joshua. This is how God wanted his people to receive verse 15. He recounts Israel's history in verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. I'd like to give you a key point there. Abraham's family worshiped false gods. Abraham was called out of the world. He was called out of a place of iniquity where his own father worshiped false gods. Verse 3, then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. God saying, that's what I did for Abraham. Next in verse 4, to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. Verse 5, I sent Moses and Aaron and I plagued Egypt. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Verse 7, they cried out to the Lord and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites who dwell on the other side. Verse 10, but I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Verse 11, you went to the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, but I delivered them into your hand. Verse 12, I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Verse 13, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and you eat of the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Therefore, serve the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. He talks about the history, and he challenges the nation. Look how you've been blessed. Look what God has done for you. He gave you things you couldn't give yourself. He gave you a multitude of blessings. He rescued you from Egyptian bondage. You were there over 400 years. Not only that, but he's blessed you with vineyards which you didn't plant. You get to breathe God's good air. In him you have your being. You get to eat things that you didn't have to labor for. God has been very good to you, and that's what he is emphasizing in the 24th chapter. Before you make the... Don't go there. Don't go to verse 15. I don't want you to know anything about this until I set you up, Joshua was saying. I want you to think for a moment. I want you to see what God has done for you and how powerful and good he's been to you. And then I will encourage you to make the right decision. We see over and over 13 times in the verse, God gave, God sent, God brought you out. God outlines his power by doing this, Brother Richardson. I find it amazing. He says, I sent Moses and Aaron, and I sent the hornet. In verse 12, there's nothing out there that God can't touch. God changed Moses from a weak man at the burning bush to one of the greatest prophets in the history of his word. God did that for Moses, for your benefit. Not only can God do that, God can send in the hornet to fight battles for you and give you a military edge. That's the power of God. God can control man. He can motivate man, he can give man the faith to do great things, and he can get the insect community to do the same thing. Have you thought about those bugs, boys? Remember the hornet story? How the hornets chased them away from you? The hornets helped you with a great victory. Joshua plants in their minds that God is worthy of their service. It's a good thing to serve God. You're serving the God who created the heavens and the universe. Therefore, if you take into consideration these early verses, you ought to be able to make the decision to serve him voluntarily, wholeheartedly, and faithfully, without doubt and without worry. And after all that, here comes verse 15. Just to step in and read verse 15 strips the verse of much of its influence. Before we get to verse 15, let's focus on God. Let's be God-centered. Otherwise, we'll be lukewarm, we'll be dead, we'll be living in our sins, perhaps. We'll leave things undone that ought not to be left undone. We'll be like the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. They left their first love. Let's don't be like that. Let's be like the people God wants us to be. And if you take into consideration, if you dwell on it, meditate on those first 14 verses. When we get to verse 15, I hope you're spiritually ready to say, I'll do what Joshua did also. I want to serve the Lord thy God also. Joshua makes 4 points in verse 15 that are as applicable today as they were then. Here are the 4 points. First, you choose for yourselves. Now, I'm going to do what's right, but that's not the point. The point is, you get to choose. God's giving you the liberty to do what you want to do. We see it to this day, do we not? You want to worship the gods of the Amorites? You know what God says? Go and worship. You want to worship other gods? You don't want to believe there's a God? You want to be an atheist? You want to be an agnostic? It doesn't make any difference. We're free moral agents. And Joshua is showing us we each get to choose whom we shall serve. We can't force people to do what's right. I know when you're an evangelist, boy, do I need to preach this stuff to myself. Because sometimes I get discouraged, brothers and sisters. Because you're out there doing the work, you're taking the great message of Christ's death on the Calvary, you're taking the power of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, and no matter where you look and how many doors you knock and how many flyers you hand out, you know what the problem is today? It's hard to find people who care about their souls, and that discourages me. But I've got to remember something. We can't force people to do what's right. Remember how discouraged Samuel must have been when the people of Israel asked for a king and God comforted Samuel with these words: they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me as they've done since I brought them out of Egypt. The prophet knew the people will do what they want to do, so he had to help them see what's right to do. He wants the people to give serious consideration to God. This is a very big deal, but it still comes down to you making the right choice. God's not going to force you to make that choice. The prophet's saying, I don't have the power to get you to make that right choice. You are the only ones who can decide. How are you going to define your relationship with God? Are you going to waffle along? Are you going to be a lukewarm bunch of Israelites? Are you going to worship like the Amorites worship that powerless God that people made with their own hands? Are you going to go to church in Shelbyville because that's the way you were raised? Are you going to go to church at the East Side Church of Christ because my mama and daddy would want me to? Are you going to be a Christian because my grandparents were Christians? Or are you going to be a Christian because I've made the choice to serve the living God? That's what Joshua was trying to get all of us to see. It doesn't matter where my mom and dad went to church. What am I going to do about my relationship with God? That's what's important about verse 15. Joshua wants them to weigh the evidence and make a conscious decision. Don't do it for me. It's not for me. You do it for you. Choose for yourselves. Will you turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15? I know you're familiar with this. We'll just read a few verses to save some time. It's about the prodigal son. Luke 15, we'll read a few verses and make application. Starting in verse 15, then the prodigal son went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. There are two things that cause the prodigal to return home. Make application to Joshua 20. Two things. A, I came to myself. And you know what I did when I came to myself? I looked around at this world that used to like me when I got here, when I had my pockets full of money, and boy, they thought I was somebody to be celebrated. And I've learned the hard way, this world doesn't love me. This world doesn't care about me, and this world doesn't have anything for me. I'm discouraged and disgusted with myself that I put myself in this place. I should have known better, but I didn't. But I've learned my lesson. First point, he came to himself. Second point, you know what helped him come to himself in addition to the way he was being treated by the world? The goodness of his father, Sam. He knew about his father. Oh, my father's got something. My father's got food and to spare. My father wouldn't treat me like this. My father loves me more than these people. I'm going to go back to where I came from because my father's a good father. If I was going to go back home and get what I deserve, son, we'll take you back into the family home, but you know you've done a lot of wrong here. So take the shirt off your back. I'm tying you to the whipping post, and I'm going to stripe up your back with a bamboo cane. And when I get through wearing you out, I'm going to tell you I love you, and you're going to be back in the house. No, that's not what he got. He got something he didn't deserve. His father was so glad to see him. He saw him coming from afar, and he ran to see him, and he hugged him, and he kissed him on the cheek, and he told his servants to put on the fatted calf because my son was lost, and now he's home. Why did he come home? I came to my senses and I started thinking about the goodness of my God. I know how good my father is. My father's servants, the low-life servants, they eat well. Felix waited for a more convenient time, Acts 24:25. King Agrippa, Acts 26, verse 28, you almost persuade me to become a Christian, he said, Paul. Everyone gets the chance to make the right decision. Sometimes we don't make the right decision. I was raised in the church. Everybody thought I'd be a Christian. My granddaddy Zellner was an elder. What more do you need? My granddaddy on my mama's side of the family, Harry Pickup Sr., he's a gospel preacher for about 6 decades. What more do you need? You got it in your blood, boy. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't have time for Christian. I got time for prodigal living. I'm hitting the road. I got baptized at age 40. The prodigal, the black sheep, comes home. Why? I came to my senses. I remembered what I had left. I want to go back to that. The Church of Christ isn't going to have to call me to see if I want to accept the invitation after a closing song. I'm going to call you. And I got to come home, and these people wept because they were so glad to see me come home. What a beautiful experience it is to be a prodigal. I hope you won't make that choice, but if you do, it's still a good choice. Okay, there it is. Point number one. We've got three more points. Joshua says, I've made up my mind. Choose ye this day whom you shall serve. I'm going to get the same rights that you get. I've got the same liberty from God, and I'm going to serve the Lord thy God. Joshua has thought about it. He's not about to be influenced by public opinion, politics, the Amorites, or anything else. Joshua wasn't willing to be influenced even by the crowd standing in front of him. It doesn't make any difference to Joshua what the crowd decides to do. I'm going to make up my choice no matter how good, no matter how bad you think it, no matter how hard it might be. And here's the choice I'm going to make. I'm going to make the right choice. There's no greater choice in the world than to commit oneself to serving the Lord thy God. That was applicable in those days, and it is just as applicable today. What better choice do we have? Would you like to live in this world and not know that there's something wrong with homosexuality? Would you like to have that in your brain? I don't want that. Would you like to take some of the money that you make every week and go to the Jiffy store and buy lottery tickets with it? They do that in Florida all the time. When you go in for a bag of chip and dip, you got to get in line behind people scratching lottery tickets. I'm thankful to God I'm not like that. Why am I not like, why are we not like that? Because we've committed to serve the living God, and we know there's something wrong with that, and there's something good about living for God. Joshua was saying, if you don't do what's right, that's bad for you, but it doesn't have any effect on me. God still expects me to do what's right. Will you turn to Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's easy to make the wrong choice. That's the broad way. Not so easy to live life as a Christian, but we need to know what Joshua knew. That's the right choice. You did what's right. You did what's good. I'd like to look at Joshua's faith before we move to point three. His faith became an example. Verse 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. The very next book, chapter 2, would you read with me, please, verse 7. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. We see those words almost verbatim twice in three chapters. You know what's key here, ladies and gentlemen? We're seeing the power of a man's faith. Now get this. We're seeing the power of a man's faith to influence people even after he's gone to the grave. Israel was faithful all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. He planted seeds. He did things that were right. His faith became an influence and an example. And God got mileage out of his faith while he was in the grave. Now, you try doing that in the secular world. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are influenced today by the faith of people who are no longer with us? Do you think about your grandparents? Do you think about your parents? Do you think about the faith of Christians that you used to worship with? Brother so-and-so and sister so. They've been dead for 15 years, but I still think about those people. Faith is a wonderful opportunity. God can use it even when you're no longer here. If we live right, if we make the right decisions. Our third point. His decision impacted others. Verse 15b, as for me, don't stop there, and my house, I want my children to be faithful to the Lord. I want my wife to be faithful to the Lord. If you look at verses 16 and 17, The people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the God to serve other gods, for the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Thank you for your faith, Joshua." Now it's time for me to respond and answer the question, who am I going to choose? You know what I see from you, Joshua? It wouldn't be right to make any other choice than the one you made. Because look how good God is and how great God is. And look at the power of God. Look what he's done for us. He brought us and our fathers out of Egypt. He brought us out of bondage. He did those great signs in our sight. He didn't do them in a corner somewhere where we couldn't feed off of them. And he preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. My God has blessed me all the days of this life, these people are saying, and we're going to join you in making the same decision you make. His decision impacted others. We had some of that in this morning's lesson also. Joshua is striving to get his family, friends, and nation not involved in false worship. So he stands for the truth with no compromises. He doesn't sugarcoat it to make it easier for them to hear his message. This is the way it is. "Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. As for me and my family, we shall serve the Lord thy God." Others need to see the right example because it helps them make the right decision also. It would be terrible for Joshua to think about his own grandchildren being rolled down the aisle to become a human sacrifice for the god Molech. He doesn't want to see his nation making empty sacrifices to gods that have no power. And so he shows them what kind of faith he has. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, but am persuaded that God is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." I'm going to make the right choice. I hope you've made the right choice. I'm sure most of you have. I'm almost through. Fourth point. It's a quick point. He says, now is the time. Choose for yourselves this day. Don't put this off. Don't wait. This is the most critical decision that you will ever make. Where are you going to spend eternity? Hell is hot and the worst place we've ever even thought about. And to get into that place from which there is no escape and to spend eternity there, we can make the right choice and be spared from that type of judgment. This decision is too important to be put off. I went to the Waffle House this morning. Well, that's dangerous, isn't it? I got there at 6 o'clock. It's pitch dark outside. I mean, the place is half full. I went in there and got me some greasy home fries and a couple of eggs and wolfed down a big old piece of wheat toast. And I talked to the waiter about this meeting. And I saw the men over, about four of them sitting at the counter, kind of listening in. So I invited them to the meeting. I'll go to my car and get some flyers. And I came back in, I gave everyone in the Waffle House a flyer. We went out of flyers today. But I don't see anybody in here. Just you and me, like it always is. Maybe later. Just don't give up on them. But some people don't realize how important this choice is. And they just kick the ball down the field. Like maybe I'll decide to do that some other time. They don't even know if they'll get that other time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 and 2. It's on the screen for your convenience. "We then as co-workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. It is by God's grace that we're here today. We don't know that we've got tomorrow. Don't receive the grace of God and take advantage of it. Receive it in vain. For God says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you're in the audience today, I don't know this audience very well. We might have some who aren't Christians. Are you ready to make the right choice today? Are you ready to join the family of God? The waters of baptism are prepared behind me, and the located minister would be more than happy to bury you in those waters as a result of your faith, that you might be raised to walk in newness of life. Now that that base is covered, can I go to another base? What about the rest of us? Are we living right? Or do we need to make the choice the prodigal made? Do I need to come forward today and confess sins? Do I need to rededicate my life to Christ? Have I been waffling along in spite of how important this choice is? Do I need to come forward today and rededicate my life to Jesus? If there's any spiritual need we can help you with, we encourage you to come to the front. Don't treat the grace of God in vain. Get it done today while we stand and sing.